A one-shot lead after a 5-under-65 today. Sungjae Im and Daniel Brown tied for second. Bryson DeChambeau, 2 back. Scottie Scheffler, 3 back. Rory McIlroy, 2 over par through 15 holes. He is 7 shots off the lead.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, John Deere is committing to giving farmers diagnostic tools to help them and independent service technicians repair equipment. The agreement ends the matter filed by the Federal Trade Commission in 5 states in early 2025. John Deere says it will continue investing in tools, technology, and services to give customers more ways to care for their equipment, doing the work themselves or through repair providers. China, the largest buyer of U.S. soybeans, is once again placing orders after a trade agreement ended the country's purchasing freeze last fall. China stopped purchasing U.S. soybeans in 2025 during tariff negotiations with the Trump administration. Bloomberg reports the White House said China agreed to purchase at least $17 billion in agricultural products in addition to the 25 million tons of soybeans each year through 2028. Beijing has not confirmed those numbers. And a major revision to U.S. beef export data is raising questions about government reporting, adding uncertainty to livestock markets. The USDA sharply reduced previously reported late June beef export sales after identifying data entry errors. Reuters reports export sales were cut by nearly 90% after traders questioned unusually large purchases from countries like Chile and Italy. This comes as U.S. cattle inventories remain near multi-decade lows and beef prices trade at historically high levels.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station featuring the Ag Information Network News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varley, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks losing steam in afternoon trading as investors digest more earnings reports. The tech-heavy Nasdaq continues to fall as chip stocks extend their two-day declines. Memory chip makers are the biggest laggards, and shares of Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing are falling 3% despite the chip maker reporting its fifth straight quarter of record earnings and committing $100 billion toward new manufacturing in Arizona. And the Magnificent 7 Big cap tech stocks are mostly mixed amid a rotation out of chips. However, shares of Apple are up over 1% and hitting an all-time high. Shares of Uber are up over 1% after the ride-hailing company said it will be buying Delivery Hero in a deal that values the German company at $14.8 billion and brings together two of the world's biggest food delivery platforms. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
With energy, the salt talks, and the Panama Canal so much in the news, you might not have noticed that National Health Insurance is moving up on the outside. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
For purposes of clarity and outright honesty in discussing proposed national health insurance plans, I shall refer to them as socialized medicine, for that's what is really being proposed. A series of regional meetings sponsored by the Department of HEW has been scheduled, and the first one took place recently in Washington. The hearings, of course, have to do with socialized medicine for America. If the Washington meeting was an indication of things to come, the only question to be decided is which proposal for socializing health care do we get? There didn't seem to be anyone present putting in a plug for the system we've been using, which happens to offer the best medical care in the world. Let me ask you, do you think there's a health care crisis in the United States? If the polls are correct, 9 out of 10 of you first said yes. But now let me ask you about yourself. Do you have ready access to a doctor if you need one? Are you relatively near to hospitals or medical centers if you should be in need of the services they offer? Would it be impossible for you to get medical help in a reasonable time in case of an emergency? Again, if the polls are correct, 9 out of 10 of you answered yes to those questions. In other words, 9 out of 10 of you have been conned into believing there is a health care crisis, but 9 out of 10 of you think it applies to someone else. We have the highest ratio of doctors and nurses to patients in all the world. Less than 0.5% of our people live in counties where there is no hospital or medical treatment center, but most of those aren't more than 25 miles from such a facility. The LA Times recently ran a pro-con set of articles on socialized medicine. They used the other name for it. The advocate for it ranted about greed in the healthcare field. He ended up with proposals for tens of thousands of new doctors and nurses all trained at taxpayers' expense, every doctor and dentist on government salary, public ownership of all drug and medical equipment companies, and then said all of this could be provided for only 80% of present healthcare costs. That must have been his laugh line. Total health care costs last year were $140 billion, a tidy sum. But Senator Kennedy and Congressman Cormann's plan is priced by HEW at $248 billion. The second most popular plan, and one which I'm sorry to say some defeatists in the Medical Association have caved in on, would cost $243 billion. Then there's one the insurance companies think they could live with, and perhaps on, which would cost $234.5 billion. All of these are from studies by HEW, which of course is heart and soul in favor of socialized medicine. And yet our crisis-ridden present health care system costs around $100 billion less than the best government can come up with. Maybe there's a clue to these contrasting prices in some statistics about patients in government-run hospitals and in private hospitals. Medical patients spend an average of 8 days in private hospitals. The same kind of patient in our veterans' hospitals lingered 26 and a half days. Nursing costs per private patient average $218. In the VA hospitals, it is $580 of our tax dollars. Why don't we let well enough alone? This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And welcome to Sound Off. I think we have a good show today. We're going to be talking about wine this first half an hour, and then we're going to have Lisa Majors on. And we will be talking about Resilient Souls. That should be an interesting show. Again, this is this is Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen Veely today. She's out on assignment, so you're stuck with me, I guess. But we have Steve Anglum, and I'm horrible with last names, so I warned him. The people listening know that. I mess people's last names up all the time. But you work out at Bovino. You're the general manager, winemaker.
Yes, I am.
It's good to have you on the show. We're going to be talking kind of all things wine, but let's find out a little bit about Bovino first. I mean, I've been out there a few times for a few events. We were just talking, we had to go to the show and got cut off, but I did some of the landscaping out there years ago. Beautiful place. And I've actually been talking with Brandy about kind of fixing a few things up, because it's been a few years actually.
There are some things that could use some attention.
Yeah. Right. But it is a beautiful winery, especially since they actually put the tasting room in. And don't you guys have a cave out there or no?
The winery is actually built into a hill.
Right.
So the first floor of the winery is about 75-80% underground.
Okay. All right. But yeah, what's going on out there? I mean, are you guys doing wine tastings, of course? Are you doing food, or what's kind of the experience out there? It is a beautiful setting out at the winery, just whether you're out on the deck or inside, and the views of the...
Yeah, the setting is probably the biggest surprise for most people, because they will fly by the gate and they don't see what's behind it. It's probably a good solid 700 or 800 yards from the gate back into the winery. And what you find is a westward-looking view that everybody thinks they have to go to the west side of Paso to get.
Right.
It's an absolutely stunning vista of the west side of Paso through the Templeton Gap.
Right.
It's gorgeous.
Right. And so how long have you been out there in the industry?
I was there with the previous owner. Okay. So I was with Fred when he built the place, actually designed the first floor of the winery, all the process infrastructure. And I came to Paso to start my own winery. So I actually came here in 2000.
Okay.
I was one of the very first tasting rooms downtown before anybody knew that was an idea. And we did that for about 17 years.
Oh, really?
I ruled in.
What business was that, if you don't mind?
The downtown winery business.
Oh, just
Anglum Winery downtown. Anglum. We were in the old train station.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool.
Before Sam took over.
Nice. All right. So, I mean, what kind of things are you seeing in the wine industry right now? We were kind of talking before the show that what you kind of hear, and I'm sure a lot of the people out there listening has heard, like, oh, things are kind of dropping off. And I know people have a lot of friends out in, like, Adelaide Vineyard area, and they're like, oh, the traffic's just not there. They started telling me that a few years ago, like, the traffic's not what it used to be. Just cars driving up and down Vineyard in Adelaide, and which to me is not bad. I make my living on those back roads, and to get the tourists off there, especially if they've been drinking. But but it seems like things have slowed down a little bit. Or are you guys seeing that at Bovino? Or
we're flat, but it's definitely more competitive. It's I get the feeling like everybody that's traffic slowed down a little bit. Total visitor counts down a little bit, so you got to work harder for what you can do.
Right. Is the actual sales slowing down, or the same? Are people just doing the tasting, or are they buying wines, or what? Is a little bit different now, or is it about the same? Or
in our case, it's been less casual tasters, so our wine sales are relatively flat, though our traffic is down.
Okay.
Which is good. The new ownership is trying to focus on the wine more. And
Right. Yeah, and I've been dealing with them and going out there for a few years. I think the first thing I went out there for was as an event with the new ownership was Debbie Arnold's retirement party.
Yes.
And that was good. That was a good time.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it was quite a few people there.
Put on, I think it was it Tuscadero or Paso Women? I can't remember. One of the Women's Federated put it on, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, that's when we realized that trying to park 100 cars on our property is probably a little more than we can handle.
Right? Yeah. I remember you guys had the little shuttles you get on the Polaris and get driven up there, because I had to park down a ways. I think I wasn't one of the first people there. I'll put it that way.
We've got 90 acres, but it was a good hike to get.
Right. I got a ride, so I wasn't complaining. It was good. And it was but the actual venue in and of itself, maybe parking was a little rough, but it was a very good, there was a good turnout. It was fun. And it didn't feel like you were pushed in there. Even when they were doing the announcings, you know, when they had the speakers up there, it felt like there was plenty of room. I mean, if there was 100 people there, it didn't feel like it. I mean, it looked like it, don't get me wrong, but it didn't feel crowded or anything else.
As long as the weather cooperates and we can use the indoor and outdoor spaces, we can do 150 people pretty comfortably.
Awesome.
You start getting up when the weather forces us into just the tasting room space, that would be a bit of a challenge.
Right, yeah. But it is, it's a beautiful spot. I mean, I was, I did some work for Fred years ago, but none of that existed, at the time. He was talking about doing some stuff over there. And that's why I asked you if there was a cave in there, because he's like, oh, I'm going to build a cave over there, he told me at one spot.
It was actually a massive cut and cover operation.
Okay.
So it was really quite surprising to come in one day and see the better part of a 65-foot hill
gone. Yeah. Right. Oh, so you guys, are you seeing, I mean, you're telling me that it seems like the casual drinkers may be gone, but is it still a lot of tourists? You're getting a lot of locals, or what are you guys seeing in this?
There's still tourism, obviously. The local business is always strong, and they're quite different in terms of keeping the two groups satisfied. The biggest thing, I mean, from my perspective, I went into a little doom loop probably 4 or 5, 6 months ago, and I had some friends of mine point out that, when we started 20, 25 years ago, it wasn't easy then either. So it really hasn't changed. You just
right.
Put your head down, focus.
Market. I think at one point there was a boon. I mean, everybody, there were so many people here and just dropping money, and we're in a different economy right now too. It's been a little harder, you put in the price of gas, everything else, and price of gas, everything goes up no matter what. The grapes price goes up, harvest goes up, everything goes up. Doesn't matter if it's in the wine industry, doesn't matter what the industry is.
Cost of transportation is crazy.
Yeah. So transportation and labor right now are big expenses for anybody. And it's hard. But it's interesting to see, how people are adapting. Are you guys doing anything different? Have you added anything like foods or like different things to attract people out there?
We used to have a restaurant on site.
And okay.
That was hard to manage with such a small space. We couldn't get the turns to make it work. But we have brought back the idea of doing dinners.
Okay.
So we're doing dinners where either I cook, which is the one that's coming up next, or Brandy, the owner, she cooked a wild game dinner a while ago.
Oh, really? That sounds good.
Which was, I'm glad I didn't have to cook it.
But, yeah.
You're going to cook wild goose? Really? Great. Good. I'll be down.
Yeah, right.
But it worked. It was amazing. She did a wonderful job.
Okay.
So that allows us to do 20, 30, 40 people in a very intimate setting, focus on the wine, do something creative with food.
All right. So those kind of like winemaker dinners kind of things where somebody's explaining stuff? Or
right.
Okay.
Yeah. We actually call it, the one coming up is called Sips and Stemware.
All right.
We actually use different glass than we usually use in our tasting room. So we have a different glass paired with each wine.
Oh, nice.
And then we have different wines paired with the what is now. Usually I try to start at three courses. It always ends up being four or five, by the way.
Right. Right. Some of the best ones to do. The last one I went to, I've never been to one out there, but I went to one at Barley and Boar years ago, which is just a restaurant. And they sold it as eight courses. I think we did 12 or something, you know, and then they paired it with the drink. And by the time you're done, man, it's just, you needed a sober driver and a place to go roll yourself into because it's a lot of food.
Yes. After you, well, when you work the kitchen side of it, I'm so glad I never had to work kitchen side. By the end of the night, you're really ready to go home.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. We're getting ready to put on an event on the 1st, and I'm going to do a little quick advertising for myself, not to step on toes, but we're doing the Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner for RPSLO, and that has been a phenomenal amount of work. You know, it's here in Paso this year. Tickets can be purchased at rpsloc.org, but it's putting these dinners on. We're doing about 200 people, 220 is what I'm guessing is going to be the final tally. And it's always nice. You know, the problem is at the end, you get about somewhere between 50 to 80 that just buy tickets at the last minute. So right now we're trying to figure it out. And I'm like, I guarantee you there's at least, you know, 60 more tickets that are going to be sold by the 1st, you know, and yes. It makes it real hard to plan for.
Yeah, it makes food planning, especially when you're trying to do something unique.
Right.
So like the fish course, I have to go to Morro Bay to Giovanni's. And if at the last minute someone says they added 15 people, I got to take today off. I got to go to the coast.
Right. Right. No, exactly. I found I just did a barbecue for 4th of July. I do it the week before 4th of July every year. And just the amount of running around, because I get, actually, it reminds me, I need to call John Spencer, but I'll get a lot of the food from John Spencer and like meat, et cetera. And it's like, I'm running the Morro Bay, and then I'm running the Costco, and then I'm, you know what I mean? And there's a lot that goes in there. I need to probably learn how to delegate better is my problem. You know?
If you're looking for high-quality meat right now, that's a challenge.
Right? Oh, yeah.
At least in quantity.
Exactly.
If you walk in and say you want 50 pounds of prime filet, they're going to look at you and start laughing.
Right? So you guys having good turnouts on those dinners? Or?
Yeah, the dinners are – they've actually kind of taken on a life of their own.
Right.
They actually did at the recent Kiwanis event. We had offered a charity dinner, and there was a bidding war. So now we have to cook two of them.
Oh, nice!
Prepared it. So there's going to be at least another two on the schedule coming up.
There we go. All right. And then we were kind of talking before the show, and I was talking. You know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, oh, the winery's dropping off a little bit, and you know, we've heard a lot of talk on this radio show about certain wineries, you know, grapes being left on the vines, etc., because they can't sell it. I've heard that attributed to, you know, a younger generation that's not drinking wine, but you kind of brought something else up different, that there's an older generation that can't afford some of these wines anymore.
Well, it's not that they can't afford it. It's that for either medical reasons or whatever comes up, the aging, the baby boomer population still is a massive slug of wine. Wine dollars spent. And every year you watch the numbers and the baby boomer component shrinks.
Right.
That's where all the revenue is. There's a lot of volume at the lower prices, but that's where the revenue is.
Yeah, exactly.
So we all have to come up with a plan.
Right, right. And it's interesting because I think I was telling you, I go back to the 90s, early 2000s, and there was a lot of label changing going on as the wine industry blew up in this county. I mean, because it did kind of just in the 2000s, in my mind, you know, they had been getting bigger. So 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, you got to the, you know, later 2000-aughts or the 2010s, and things just started to kind of blow up.
When I started my winery in 2001, we were winery number 68 in San Luis Obispo County.
Oh, really? Yeah.
By the time we kind of shut it down, there was somewhere between 300 and 400.
Right. Yep. And then you got guys selling grapes, you got people doing the whole nine yards. But the interesting part is, and I remember there's one wine that stands out in my mind years ago, and I don't know if it's still sold, if they changed the name or what they did. It was $5 cab. This is probably later 90s, mid late 90s, and it was phenomenal. It was Templeton Vineyard, I think was the name of it, something like that. It was Templeton something. All right. And it was a $5. I mean, you could get it at Wayside Liquor. I mean, the first time I bought it, I remember I was going on a date and I was going up to that part of town and I was like, oh, I need to get a bottle of wine. And I grabbed that thing and I was like, oh my gosh, this stuff is phenomenal. But I think what we saw in the '90s, early 2000s, is a lot of people took those wines that were, you used to be able to get a really good cab or even a Chardonnay for about $15, you know. And then all of a sudden they went to like $65, $75, $85. And a lot of it was just with a label change, which was interesting. I mean, one of my favorites, and I'm going to get a lot of slack for admitting this on this particular radio station, because the winery itself is not well liked by people that listen to this show, would be, there used to be a, gosh, what was the name of it? It was called the Reserve. It was a J. Lohr Reserve cab. Okay. It's now called, I believe, and they might have changed the name again. I think it's called the, I can't think of the name, but it's from, it's not from here. It's not the Seven Sisters. It's okay. It's from Napa. And there's about 7 acres of cab out there. And I will say, I think it's called the Carroll.
Oh, Carroll's Vineyard up in Napa.
Yeah, and I used to love that when I was younger, like back in the 90s, early 2000s. That was one of my favorite cabs. But it was 15. That was a prime example of change the name and go from $15 to 75 overnight. Yes. And I think we saw that. And I always thought, well, yeah, I can just hold out. But it kind of did. Like those pricings have held out relatively well. And I think that's why places like, you know, whether it's Halter or Taubless or Brecken, they never went fully up, but still provide really good wine. I don't know what your guys' price points that are, but
most of our whites in 30s and 40s.
Our those are
45 to 65.
Yeah, to me that's not bad, because you know you have a lot of people. I know a lot of places starting in the hundreds, you know, and their cheaper stuff maybe $75, $80. Yeah. And so that price point where you guys are at, I think to me is a kind of a sweet spot, especially, and I've had your guys' wine. It's a good wine. And the same with like a Halter or a Brecken or whatever. These are good wines, but, and they've gone up over the years. I remember telling Damien years ago, he was selling out every year and just like, I don't know what we're going to do in the tasting room. We're running out of wine. And it was always just, oh my gosh, you know? And I was like, raise your prices. And he's like, man, you know,
no one ever accused winemakers of being the best business.
Right. You guys ever like team up with other wineries? Are you doing a lot of tastings out in the community? Or are you guys just kind of like more out there doing your thing?
Mostly focus on what we do. We brought some new people in. We're going to try to get the, you know, the back road wineries thing, kind of see how we can inject ourselves into that and help.
Okay.
Try to grow it up.
Nice. Yeah, and I will say, if you haven't been out to Bovino, it's, what is that? My mind's going blank. You're on
El Pomar,
yeah.
El Pomar, 1.1 miles east of South El Pomar.
Right, and it's, you know, you go out that way. It's not really that far. When I was younger, I thought that was way out there. I also thought, like, Halter Ranch. I used to have to take one of the McGilveries after football practice. When my parents would drive them home sometimes, and we lived out on Jardine. It was like, oh. Like, and it seemed so far back then.
It's as foolish as when Justin built Justin Winery. Like, you're kidding, right?
That one seems kind of out there for me. That one does. And I think Justin and Laura, probably with this audience, aren't the most popular people just because of the water right things that they've done here in this county. And I mean, Justin's done them in Kern County and everywhere else with the wonderful company. But yeah, that one was always surprising because, you know, I had a friend of mine that was going out there for a tasting, and she was like, oh, I got invited. I'm like, you know where it is, right? Because we had plans later that night. I'm like, you know where? And she, oh my God. And she ended up canceling, but I was like, it's out there. Like, it's out there. It's basically running to your ranch almost.
Yeah,
and
see that mountain range? Yeah, you're going to be almost there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that always seemed like a weird one to me. Yeah. But yeah, so are we seeing the same volume of wineries? Is everybody keeping their head above water here? Or what are we seeing kind of with your neighbors?
Well, I think what I'm seeing is there's a generational shift. You know, a lot of guys my age that got into it, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, are now either bugging out or want to retire and actually chill for a while. So there's a lot of new young names coming up. Going to a wine event now for me is kind of surprising because I used to know everybody. Now I walk in and go, who are y'all? I
don't know. Right. Yeah. We've seen a lot of sales too in the last, what, 5 or 6 years of a lot of the bigger vineyards or the more well-known vineyards have been gobbled up by bigger corporations. Which has been interesting. I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I kind of think Dow sold for close to $1 billion or something.
It did.
And that one, I have to say, the location, that is a beautiful view up there.
It is. And we have a much better view because we look at that
one. Right. Well, we'll be right back. We'll finish up this segment, and then we'll be back at the top of the hour with Lisa Major. Stay tuned.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Savage Spirits and Deli has great parking for the fair right behind their business at 21st and Spring Street. Stop in and say hi to the ladies on your way to the fair and park your car in a safe parking environment. Support the youth ministries at Christian Life Center by buying your wristband from Savage Spirits and Deli. Only $35 pre-sale. Don't pay $55 at the fair. Get them before they're gone. Sold up to the first day of the fair at Savage Spirits and Deli, 21st and Spring Street in Paso Robles.
And we're back with more Sound Off. If you have any questions about this topic, we're talking all things wines, and we have the winemaker and general manager of Bovino kind of going over North County wine here. And give us a call or give us a text, 238-5775, 238-KPRL. You can call in or text the either number or that number, not either. And we will be running out of time soon. So if you do have questions, it's probably the time to call or text. So the dinners you guys are having, how do people find out about those? Are they private or are they open to the public?
They're open to the public. They're on the website.
Okay.
We promote them. It started kind of, Friends of the Winery Wine Club, and we're trying to expand beyond that.
Okay. You guys have a good wine club or?
It's growing. Yeah, it's growing. We don't have a very high pressure system, so those that we get, we usually keep.
Right.
Which is a good thing. But that's everyone's struggle right now, is trying to
Get a wine club. Oh, yeah. Well, I laughed. A buddy of mine, and I've done work for, what's their names? I want to say Justin, was it Saxum? Not Saxum, but is it Saxum? The one out there on Willow Creek, gosh, they have like a 8 to 10 year waiting list on there.
Saxum. Justin Smith.
And I've done some of the landscaping and stuff out there, but a buddy of mine, and what's funny is Pebbles had given me a bunch of wine one time, which is his dad, or I think it's his dad, not her. Anyway, whatever, I could be messing that up, but who lives on the property too. And it's my understanding, I could be wrong, so if they call in, tell me I'm wrong, but basically it's just his label of that, you know, for friends and whatever. So I remember telling this guy I worked for who just wanted to, you know, been on that wine club for years. And he gets an email, and I had offered him, like, do you want some of this Pebbles? This is the same stuff. And he's like, I'm like, he gave me a case of this stuff, and it's actually, it was great. I wish I need to go do more work out there trying to get another one of those. But It's like, no. And he goes, oh, look, I got my letter. And he's opening it one day. I happened to be at his house. And it's like, well, congratulations. Your time's coming up. You're 8 years away from being on.
Wow.
But I guess you want to keep people engaged if you have something waiting. It'll make it seem worth waiting for.
Just like that. Yeah. And Justin obviously, helped really establish Paso. I mean, being the first 100.1 in Paso. Doesn't hurt.
No, exactly. And yeah, they do. I like what they're doing out there. And it's what he did, it really worked for him. But I guess making great wine helps too, and I think there's a lot of great wine here. I tend to be, I think what got me to try your guys' wine was the Debbie Arnold event, because I wouldn't have even thought about it. I don't go out that way that often, and you don't think about it, and then you go out there, and every time I drive by, I go, oh, I wonder what the landscape looks like, so it's interesting. But yeah, it's trying to get out there and find the good wines, because the problem I have is when you're at that price point of, the higher price point than you guys are, realistically, it's hard to want to try it, because it's like, if I don't like it, like, I have a pretty specific palette of what I like, and I'm a reds guy for sure, and I like the bigger, bolder reds, and et cetera. I'm not a huge on whites. It's not like I don't like them. I used to be a Chardonnay guy years ago, but I liked that. What was it? HMR had a great, where Dow is now. They had a great Chardonnay, I have to say.
There are very few places in Paso you can go Chardonnay.
Right. And, but it's harder to want to try something when it's expensive. So I think you guys are in a good price point, just because for me, if you go to a restaurant, it's a $75 bottle, it's going to be $150, $165 at that restaurant, and then to not like it.
Yeah.
It's hard to justify. Painful. So I find myself, sticking with the ones I know, unfortunately. It's made it a little harder. And then, everywhere, I used to be able, back in the day when you did wine tasting, you just kind of went around and said, okay, I better stop. Had a little too much wine today, but now, it's, $25, $35 a person. If you bring 10 people with you or something, it adds up really quick.
It adds up very fast.
And
wine tasting has changed over the years. It used to be you pop in, like you said, you taste some wines and you blow out. Now it's become a 60 to 90 minute adventure.
It has. I did a wine tasting in San Luis or Edna, and it was actually a great experience. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
I helped start the first wine festival, and I have an opinion on red.
Okay.
And my opinion is the best reds are made by Janelle Ducey.
By who?
Janelle Ducey.
Oh, okay, Ducey.
And don't get her spring paper streak. Get her original stuff. It's better. It's made from the Ducey Brothers Dryland Zinfandel and Syrah wine, and it is, my opinion, the best red made right now.
Yeah, and you got a little history with the dude. Yeah, they've been around here for a few minutes,
I guess. They have been here for a few minutes. They have a vineyard that is, kind of established Paso.
Right. What's your favorite?
We only had 17 wineries in the first wine test.
Oh, yeah.
And it was started by the Chamber with the idea of bringing tourism. I think it worked.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty effective. We got to give that one to the Chamber, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, sir. We are going to be wrapping down here real quick. So if you just kind of want to give us the details out there, like maybe the address, phone number, if people want to call in.
We're at 5685 El Pomar, which is 1.1 miles east of South El Pomar. The phone number, which I should remember, is 805-238-2007. Or you can check us out at bovinovineyards.com.
All right, perfect. And then what do you say? What if you were going out there, what wines, and people always say every one of them's the greatest, but what would you gear towards, if somebody really, what do you enjoy out there? What are some of your favorites?
My favorite, I enjoy, we have some unique whites, but then it's really Bordeaux country.
Okay.
So my favorites are the two blends we do, left and right bank. One is Merlot lead, one is Cab lead.
All right, perfect, sir. Well, thank you for coming in, talking wines with us. We'll be right back with Lisa Majors. She may be running a little bit late, so you might have to listen to me for a minute, but we'll be right back with more Sound Off. Stay tuned.
AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM KPRL.com Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.